Dateline, June 16th, 2016. Operation
Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry. Hi there. I'm your host, Amelia Dalton from eejournal.com. Are you ready? Because we're headed into the heart of everything wireless, IoT, industrial IoT, our everyday lives, our professional lives, the lives of our children. Where is this fish fry crazy train headed? Data centers. I know, what a lot of build up for a building full of servers, but there's some big movement in the world of data centers, and in order to truly understand the multi-tiered ramifications of these transistor titans, we must go right in the center of the action. This week, Mark Papermaster, CTO at AMD, is here to lay out a course to the future. The data center future. Mark and I take a closer look at the complex chip competition in the data center market, why open ecosystems are the linchpin of data center evolution, and why he believes your product is only as good as your team. Check it out.
Hi, Mark. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Amelia, thanks for having me.
So there seems like there are major challenges at every level in processors these days, from IoT edge devices to the data center. What do you see are the most interesting problems you're working out at AMD?
Well, that's a great question. I mean, IoT, you're seeing it be quite explosive. I mean, you know, embedded devices are everywhere. In my own home, I have everything from thermostats to appliances to cameras, and they're all connected. So what does that mean to us at AMD? It means that there's a massive amount of data that's being corrected, and it's growing at an exponential rate. Cisco predicts that there's going to be 50 billion connected devices by 2020. And everyone hears that quote, but guess what? It seems to be about on that pace. So what are we going to do with all that data? So at AMD, we're not going to be that device that's embedded. Those are, I'll say, more commodity devices. We're about high performance. And so we're providing the ability to amalgamate that data, to crunch that data and make it useful. You know, you can think of a PC type capability as a hub to bring that together. And then it goes to the edge of the network and it needs to be processed. And then we're re-entering the server era with really two aspects. We've got a brand new high performance x86 core, codenamed Zen. We just demoed it at Computex last week. 8 cores cranking away, simultaneous multi-threading, threading. And then, of course, our graphics processing for both compute and visualization. So IoT for us means an explosion of data, an explosion of processing needed to make it useful.
So it looks like we're also entering the age of acceleration. What are your thoughts on the various approaches to acceleration? GPUs, FPGAs, and so forth.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And why is that, by the way? The reason is straightforward. The old Moore's Law is slowing, all right? So the ability to just take devices you had and put into the next semiconductor technology node and you get a ton more performance at the same or lower power and the same or lower cost. Well, that was great, but that's not the way it is anymore, right? It's slowing dramatically. And so to satisfy that same insatiable demand that the industry has for more computing and visualization power, we're all having to take a different kind of approach. And that is, as well as writing semiconductor advances, you have to put innovative system design where you can bring, I'll say, heterogeneous solutions together. So parts of a problem need to be solved in the CPU, others in a GPU. A GPU is a fantastic parallel processor, right? So any task that can be broken out and run in parallel is going to be accelerated on a GPU. And some tasks get accelerated with very tailored code that you write. And that can be done in a programmable gate array, an FPGA. And so we're very excited about this. Obviously, we've invested very heavily in the CPU and GPU. But even more than that, we want an open ecosystem. We've invested of how companies, disparate companies, can come together and connect these different type of devices together. You saw a recent announcement of CCIX, a consortium where companies can come together and connect their CPUs, GPUs, accelerators, network devices together. So it's going to be an exciting time, Amelia.
So it seems like the competition for the data center in particular is really heating up these days. What are your thoughts on the x86 versus ARM for data center computing? Is there likely to be a change, do you think?
Well, let's face it. I mean, the CPU has been dominated, right? The big competitors got almost all of the share. So the industry is hungry for competition. And you say, you know, x86, ARM, absolutely. There's going to be competing ISAs. But because almost all of that market is x86, and we have x86, that's where we're leading. So the new Zen core that we're coming out is a high-performance core. We had let a gap develop. We had focused on mobile devices and optimized power management, and we're in the background retooling and creating a new high-performance processor. It's ready. It's that Zen processor we have. We'll be sampling this year. So we're going to bring competition back in the data center to x86 high-performance. ARM is a great ISA, but it's going to take some time for it to develop and get a toehold and get the application space in the data center. It'll happen. It'll just take some time. We're open to that. So we actually have put out an ARM design A1100 that's out there to help augment that development. And, you know, we're not married to ISA. So if ARM takes off, we have the capability and are ready to move in that space. If the customers want it, we'll have both x86 and ARM. I think it will take a couple generations, but it should happen.
So, Mark, let's talk a little bit about your keynote at the Design Automation Conference this year, called The Challenge to Develop Truly Great Products. Now, one of the aspects of that was building the right team. Tell me more about why you think that is a cornerstone of developing truly great products.
Yes, I feel passionate about that because, you know, I've always been involved in technology, and any technology product, it's actually only as good as the team that you can put together. It's built by bringing the right skill set and experience level together. So, of course, you've got to start with what problem are you solving? Why would this be important? But once you do that, to have any shot at success, you've got to be building on experience, and you've got to have a different set of skills. People sometimes run amiss, really, because what they'll say is, hey, all I need is this guru. And if I have this guru, we'll be successful. But history shows that you actually need diversity on the team. And so to put a little science into it, and you know, I've been at it more than 30 years, so I have a little scar tissue here. You know, I found that you can create that right mix at different skills. Someone that's conservative, someone that's very aggressive, someone that's very thoughtful, someone that's a risk taker. And you bring that mix together, it's going to create some debate, but that debate's good. And that actually drives you to get a better product out.
So, Mark, in your keynote, you mentioned you have a passion for technology. Now, do you have a passion other than technology, or what about technology are you passionate about in particular?
Well, maybe I do, and let me just start with the technology aspect, because I've been doing this for a number of years, and I can't say I ever had any issue just hopping out of bed and running into work that day. And the reason is, technology has been incredibly exciting, and there's always the next problem to solve. And I live and breathe for solving problems. It's just what makes me tick. And, you know, the comment I made in the keynote I feel so strongly about is when you can find your passion in life, then it's hardly work. I mean, it's exciting, it's exhilarating, and sometimes it's exhausting, but it's incredibly rewarding. And when I mean rewarding, I mean the reward you get when you have pride and you get that product out to market and you see people running with it and doing things with it. You know, I just don't think it gets better than that. So you said, does that go into other areas? Well, I have to say, I am very competitive. I mean, that's what drives my passion, technology, and I am a sports nut. So with myself, I've got three kids. The last one almost out of the house, going to be in college next year. I love hanging out with the kids, playing sports, watching sports, probably just my competitive nature, but it seems to complement very well the technology side of my life. It's family and sports.
I love it. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Mark.
Amelia, thank you. Really appreciate it.
Sure, data centers pack a lot of processing power. That goes without saying. But most of the time, they've got a nearby power plant or four that can handle the load. But what about the embedded vision algorithm you're working on? Or the complex AI drone software you're developing? And look at that. No power plant at your disposal. Sound about right? Well, then you should check out my most recent episode of Chalk Talk, entitled Running Out of Processing Power? No problem. I sit down with Eric Ma of Xilinx and talk about this very thing. We discuss all about how you can maximize your performance per watt with Zinc UltraScale Plus MP SoCs. And if you were wondering, you can check out this episode of Chalk Talk by clicking the link directly below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page on eejournal.com by heading on over to YouTube, searching for keyword EE Journal, or heck, you can even navigate on over to the on-demand section of eejournal.com. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And hey, if Google Plus is your thing, you can also join our circle on Google Plus. We also have that YouTube channel I mentioned earlier, keyword, EE Journal, chock full of all kinds of techie videos, our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series, and our video series called On the Scene. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. I'm just saying. Hey, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page, you can also grab our Fish Fryin' RSS feed or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Fryin' page. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of June 17th, 2016, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.